Would you pray with me, please? Father, I know that the music, the songs we've sung, the statement that we have just made in this song, "It is well with my soul," may be very, very true of some of us in here today, and not so much so in others. Sometimes we make this statement as a proclamation of where we stand right now, where we are, and sometimes we make this statement as an act of faith, believing that while things may not be well with our soul right now, we know that you can make them well, and we trust you for that today. And so now, Lord, as we worship together and as we open your word, as we hear your word, may it speak directly into our hearts, just exactly where we need it to go. Hit us, Lord, in our personal lives in places that nobody knows about but you and them. And I pray for your grace to abound and to, Lord, that we might give great glory to you for what you're going to do in these next moments together. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. All of God's people said amen, and you can be seated this morning. We are going to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We are so glad that you are here today. We welcome you if you are here in the room or if you are worshiping with us online or on the promise. We welcome you this morning, and we're glad that you are in our congregation today. We're going to talk about anxiety today. Let's talk about anxiety. We're going to talk about worrying. This is not a message for everyone. It's not a message for you if you are not a worrier, if you don't have anxiety. Then this message is just going to go right over your head. It's not a message for you if, how many of you would be honest enough to say, I have some anxiety issue, I have some things going on, we've got some anxiety, okay. If you like that, would you keep your hand up? You like being anxious? So if you like that, then this is not for you either, because I want to talk about how you get rid of it. So if you like it, you don't want to listen, so don't pay attention. And I'm not talking about stress today. Stress happens. Life is stressful sometimes. I'm not talking about that. Friday, I was out I had a wedding Friday evening, and I was just out. I've kind of gone through some stuff today. I thought, I'm just going to take a run. So I was out doing some jogging. And my daughter called while I was jogging, and we were chit-chatting. And she said, Daddy, what time's your wedding tonight? I said, it's 6 o'clock. It's downtown Jacksonville. 6 o'clock. She said, Daddy, are you sure? And I said, well, you know, that's what I think it's 6 o'clock. Daddy, are you sure? So I checked. Guess what? It was 5 o'clock. Guess what time it was when we were talking? It was 10 after 4. So I had to decide whether I wanted to go to the wedding with clothes on or taking a shower. So I decided, I opted for wearing clothes. I didn't take a shower. I just had to go. I'd sprinted. I didn't know I could run that fast. It was a really good experience. But that's stress, okay? And stress happens. I didn't worry about any of that. It was just stressful, okay? It was just, you know, just that kind of thing. So I'm talking about this persistent back and forth that happens in our minds sometimes. We're worrying about different issues. We have questions about different problems. And what I want to talk about today, I want to just ask you this. If you're an anxious person, if you happen to be in that number, and you would say, I kind of worry about stuff. Here's my question. Unless you like it, what is your strategy for getting rid of it? What's your game plan? What are you planning to do? Now, some of you are just kind of waiting for God to just take it away from you. Guess what? He's not going to. He's not going to just magically lift it out of you. There's a process we have to go through, and this is why we have Matthew chapter 6. Jesus was talking to people this was Sermon on the Mount. So he's talking to, you know, hundreds, probably maybe thousands of people at one time about this issue. And so we learn from that worrying is not a new problem. It's not a 21st century problem. It was happening back in the first century when Jesus was walking with them in person. And people were still anxious. So that's the kind of anxiety we're talking about. Now, let me also say we're not talking here about an anxiety that needs to be medicated. It is actually the most common mental health problem that women have in our culture is anxiety. Second most common problem for men. So I'm not even going to go with that. That's not even what I meant to say. I didn't only mean to say that. But that's 50 million plus people in America have diagnosed anxiety, panic problems, and are medicated for it. 50 million plus. So think about that. That's a lot of people. But that's really about 30%. I mean, there 70% of people, the majority of people, vast majority of people with anxiety, it's not diagnosable, it's not clinical, it's not something that medication is going to fix. It is just a habit that you have. It's a default mode that you click into whenever a problem comes along and you start rocking back and forth between two points, okay? So that's what we're talking about today. Please hear me. I'm not beating you up. I don't want you to feel bad. You know, and the other problem is this. Children today have an incredible problem with this. Children, our children do. Robert Leahy said that the average child today has the same number of diagnosable mental disorders as the average mental patient had in the 1950s. Now think about that. That's the normal kids. The normal kids that have that. So that's alarming. And you know how they got there? And their parents teach them. You learn from your parents how to be anxious. Anxious moms have anxious daughters. I can't tell you how many people came up to me at the end of the last service and said, my mom, my dad, they kind of set me up for that. And we do. But why we're there is not the solution to the problem. We can diagnose that and work on that. That's not going to get you to what is the game plan? Okay, so Jesus lays out for us a plan, a pattern. All right, so by now you should have found Matthew 6, and we're going to start at verse 24 because some of the mistakes we make in dealing with anxiety is we leave out verse 24 before we get to verse 25. So verse 24 is important because it says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." This word that Jesus gives is for people who are serving God as their master. All right? It's not something that is a one-size-fits-all, plug-and-fit kind of thing. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about those who have committed their lives to serving God as their master. Jesus said, here's some promises he wants you to hang on to. All right, start in verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Do not take anxious thought." That's what that means. Do not worry. Do not anxious thought means we're caught between two places. It's like being on a rocking chair. You know, rocking chairs are great. You can get a lot of activity in, but you don't ever go anywhere, right? You just go back and forth, back and forth. And that's kind of where some of our anxiety leaves us. We spend a lot of energy, but we don't get anywhere, all right? So don't be anxious. Don't take anxious thought about your life. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? Or about your body? What are you going to wear? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Now, Jesus said, behold, he didn't say, hey, look, well, there's a sparrow, there's this. Study it. Think about that. Look at that bird. Does it look worried to you? Does it look stressed to you? Does it look like it's spent all night setting up since 3:00 in the morning thinking about its next worm for breakfast? It doesn't. And more than that, says this. It says, are you Aren't you much? They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Now, one guy said, hey, put that on your resume, you know? I'm more valuable than birds. I mean, you think, well, maybe I don't have any, well, and let me tell you, they'll either, you know, it may get you some attention. You know, you put that on your resume. What do you mean I'm more valuable than birds? God said he would take care of me. And I'm more valuable than birds. He takes care of birds, so he's going to take care of me, whether I get this job or not. I'm more valuable than birds. Nobody else compliments you. Jesus just complimented you there, okay? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Another translation is a single cubit to his height, a foot, you know, who can grow taller because you're worried, or who can live longer because you're worried? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive, tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. Here we go again. Don't take anxious thought, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The word anxious is a German word. It's angst. It's something that tightens you up, that tears you apart, and it's shiss. Okay? Anxious. That's the word. That's why the Hawaiians, when you go to the Hawaiians, and if they call you a haole, that's their word for people that are not from Hawaii. They call you haole because that means the breathless one. People come to Hawaii and they're breathless, exhausted, they're anxious. All right, you hear it? How do we get rid of that? All right, the things that Jesus gives us to lay out a pattern. Again, goes back to verse 24. Let's start with the first one. We need to identify our master. Who is your master? You cannot serve two masters. He does not say you should not serve two masters. Now, some of you today, you're working two jobs. And you have two bosses, and you know how hard it is to manage two bosses who both want part of your life, and they want to control all of your life. And so you're always torn between what this one wants, what that one wants. Well, let's magnify that. Jesus said there is one big boss in your life. And here's the thing. You get to choose who that is. You are either going to choose God as your master, he's going to be your master, and I'm going to orient my life around that master, or you are choosing the God called Mammon, money, or basically what you're talking about is materialism. Let's make it simpler. You're either serving a God you cannot see or a God you can. All right, that's what this means. You're either serving a God you cannot see or a God you can see. If your God is visible to you, you're probably serving the wrong one. But Jesus said you can't serve both. You know, part of what the word anxious means is it means to be torn apart. It means to be ripped into. If you've gotten stuck in an anxious thought and you've gotten stuck in an anxious thought process, you feel like it's just tearing you apart. And you're bouncing back and forth between these two ideas or two thoughts or two options. It tears you. Jesus said, don't do that to yourself. But you have to make a decision. It's hard. You have to decide, which world am I going to live in? Am I going to live in the visible world, the physical world that I can see and it feels this? Or am I going to walk by faith and live in the invisible world, the spirit world that is eternal, that is the most important and significant thing? We try to do both. We live divided between two opinions. And that's uncomfortable. You can't stand that way long. But some of us are trying. Get your foot in one world or the other. Jesus said, choose your master wisely, because here's what the master you cannot see, who is God, is going to do for you if you serve him. All right, so these promises now that unfold after that are promises for us. The second thing that we're told to do. And what I'm doing, listen, I'm giving you a strategy. I'm trying to lay a strategy. I'm trying to point you to Jesus' strategy to fix anxiety. Will you just do one thing? If you're anxious today, pick one thing. You don't have to have all four. I'm not asking for a miracle here. Just one thing. Can you find one thing and say, I'm going to work on that? Maybe you need to work on who is your master? Okay, maybe you need to work on that. And the second thing he talks about is fixing your focus. All right, you choose your master. Choose your master. And then fix your focus. Now, Jesus talks about, you know, the problem is we are very physically focused. We are physical beings. We have a body. We have a brain. We have, you know, but here's what Jesus knows. See, Jesus made your brain, okay? There are 300 trillion nerve endings that flow out of your brain and into the rest of your body. Miraculous thing. Your brain doesn't feel anything, but it controls all the feeling throughout your whole body, everything in your body. 300 trillion nerve endings. And Jesus says, hey, I knit you together in your mother's womb. And I know where all these nerve endings go. I know how you're made. I know how you're wired. So he said, listen, you have got to do something. You've got to understand something. You've got to stop focusing on the physical world. You know why? Not because it's unimportant. Because he said, God's got that. He's going to take care of you. He takes care of birds. The birds don't usually starve to death. They'd fall out of the sky. Oh, I'm so hungry, you know. Wish I could have just made it to McDonald's parking lot and, you know, everything would have been fine. They don't do that. You know, he takes care of them, all right? He takes care of birds. He clothes flowers. Why are you worried about clothing? Look at these flowers, and they're just burned. You know, they're here today, burned up tomorrow. And even Solomon couldn't knit together beautiful clothing like they wear. So he's just asking, it doesn't make sense for you to worry about physical things because your father has already got that under control. Why are you trying to worry about it? Why are you trying to fix it? Why are you focused on that? Why are you micromanaging that part of your world? He's got that. Stop worrying about it. All right? Now, I know you're probably not worried, but maybe the person with you is, so tell them, stop worrying about that. Just tell them. They need to hear that from somebody besides me. Tell them, stop worrying. Just turn. Don't worry about it. I don't care if you don't know them. Just tell them. Stop worrying about it, all right? Stop worrying about it. God's got it, all right? You're going to be fed. You're going to be clothed. He's taking care of those things. Well, yeah, but I need money for a pay. He's going to take care of stuff, okay? He's going to take care of things physically. Now, there's a component to that we'll come back to in a minute. But right now, just understand something. Here's the problem. You have this little it's called the dorsolateral prefrontal lobe in your brain, DLP. And that lobe in your brain controls attention. It controls where your attention goes. So what you pay attention to is a huge thing. There's this little thing in your brain that just, and when you decide, I'm going to focus on this, you make a decision in your DLP, and that DLP focuses all the energy of your life onto that thing that you're giving attention to. All right? This is more science than you want, probably, but just hear me. It makes sense. This is why, when it says in Romans 8, listen, the mind, the DLP, set on the flesh, the physical, leads to death. Okay? If your attention, if your focus is set on the physical, it leads to death. Anybody want to go there? Okay, let's don't go there. But the mindset, isn't this interesting? You get to choose where your mind is going. You're in control of that little DLP in your brain. The mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So here's your option. You want death? Oh, no. You want life and peace? Let's go one step further. The mindset on the flesh leads to anxiety and death. How about that? The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. You have to, listen, you have to train. Listen, this is not, I'm not asking you. You know, it's important that we go, okay, we need to acknowledge that if I'm worrying, I'm dishonoring God. Now, again, if you have a disorder, that's a different thing. But if I'm worrying and I'm not sick and there's nothing wrong with me physically, if I'm worrying, I'm dishonoring my Father. And we need to pray and just ask God, forgive us. Forgive us. How many of you, if you had gone to your father when you were a child and said, oh, Father, are you going to feed me again? You fed me such a wonderful lunch. Will you please feed me for dinner? What kind of dad would like to hear that? I mean, how messed up is that guy? Honey, I love you, my daughter. I'm going to take care of you. I know you need food. I know you need clothes to wear. I may not buy you the $150 blue jeans you want, but I know you need clothes. I'm going to get you clothed. I'm going to put a roof over your head. Why is he doing that? Because he's a good dad. He's a good father. Why do we think God's not a good father? And that's what we're saying. When we worry, I don't know what kind of dad you are. I don't know, you know, heard some stories about you. So I don't know if I can trust you or not. He's going to take care of that. He's going to take care of it. So stop setting your focus, the focus of your life. Get it off the physical, into the spirit. He is saying the mindset on the flesh is going to lead you to death. It's going to start killing stuff inside of you. You know, it's interesting as I've overcome some worry issues in my life. I don't worry about peer pressure anymore. Used to when I was a teenager. I don't really care what people think now. I don't. I don't have peer pressure issues. And I'm getting less peers all the time. So it kind of works out. So I'm not getting, I don't get a lot of pressure there. But, when I was a teenager, I was hypochondriac for a few years. I found a medical dictionary. I had every disorder in the dictionary. I mean, I was sick, thought I was. And then I stopped worrying about that. I realize I really am sick. I really have problems. You know, I really do have issues. They're real. They're not, I'm not making them up. They're the real thing. So took care of my worry issue there. As you get older, you worry about different stuff, right? Not that any of you in here are older, but if you are, you understand what I'm talking about? You just worry about different kinds of stuff. But worry is going to tailor itself to your worst fear, whatever your fear is. It's going to come after that fear in your life. So whatever you're afraid of is where you're vulnerable. Okay? Fix your focus. Fix your focus. Third, live today. Live today. Don't, you know, we live, one person said we live crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. Yesterday is stealing our peace and our joy because, oh, we said something stupid, we did something stupid, we didn't do something right, something happened, and we're beating ourselves up about yesterday. Or we're worrying ourselves to death trying to control something that you don't know is even happening yet tomorrow. The whole premise of how overcoming anxiety works according to Jesus is you have to learn to live now. If you'll learn to live now, you will always have all that you need to live now. But if you're worrying today, if you have a what if problem, you know, well, what if this happens? What if the doctor says that? What if my job goes this way? What if the inflation does this? What if the stock market does that? What if? What are we talking about? The future, right? So if you're doing that, you know what you're doing? You're setting your attention on the future. And the problem is, you know you're going to have problems. Jesus said you're going to have problems. He said, in this world, you will have problems. How about that for a promise to bless you today? In this world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have tribulation. But, he said, but rejoice. Whoa, wait. I thought you said we were having problems. Yes, but rejoice. I've overcome the world. Your problems are not bigger than me. Your concerns are not out of my reach. Your worries are not enough. I know what you're talking about. But rejoice. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. We have to stop worrying about tomorrow. You know what? God taught the people of Israel in the wilderness, don't worry about tomorrow. You know how he did it? He said, I'm going to put manna out for you every day. I'm going to put this bread stuff out in the field every day. Enough for everybody. I don't know how many million people. We don't even know. Enough bread for everybody. Now, here's the trick. Don't stockpile for tomorrow. Don't store it up. Don't hoard it up. Don't put it in extra jars. Don't lay up a little bit more in the cupboard for tomorrow. Don't do that, because if you do, it'll stink. And you know what they had to do? They had to prove it. That sure enough, it stinks. If you save too much, I'll give you enough to feed you today. I'm not going to give you enough to feed you tomorrow, today. All right, here's what he said. I'm going to take care of you today. I am not going to take care of tomorrow's problems until tomorrow. What we want, well, what are you going to do? Not your business. You're not there. You don't know what you have tomorrow. None of us know that. And you don't know what I'm going to do in tomorrow when it gets here. You don't know. So, well, how do we know? Well, you wake up in the morning and go, well, sure enough, there's manna out in the field again. You know what Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says? Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Your mercies are new every morning. So every morning you're going to wake up, and you know what that promise is? You know what that really is? That's a promise that says, whatever you're going to deal with tomorrow, I'm going to give you enough mercy to deal with it. Your jar is going to be full. You're going to have all the mercy you need tomorrow. Well, yeah, but what about how I feel? Don't worry about that. Get your DLP back in today. Focus on today. Not tomorrow. You got enough. This is what he said. Sufficient for the day is the problems there. We got enough problems today, right? Why are you importing more problems from tomorrow? Hello? Why would you want to do that? Why would you borrow tomorrow's troubles and struggles to make today worse? So just enjoy today. I gave you today. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. I'm taking care of things. Enjoy today. And I'll take care of you tomorrow. We don't believe that. We don't believe that for nothing. You know why? You know how I know? Because we worry. So we just completely said, Jesus, I don't believe a word you said. I don't believe anything about that. So I think I need to worry more, because that solves so many problems when I worry, right? Oh, it's such a wonderful solution to my problems. I'm just going to worry some more. I love it. I like to wake up in the middle of the night and do it. It's so much fun. I can't hardly even sleep for wanting to do it. This is such a good solution to my problem. Come on. And or you know what else we do? We go out and we find somebody crazier than we are to commiserate with. Well, I'm going to call my friend and tell her, I got to talk to her. I got to tell her about this. And then what, you know, and she's as crazy as you are. You're sitting there going, oh, why are you doing that? Jesus said, I'm giving you all the counsel you need, all the wisdom you need right here. What is it? Live right now. Come on, how hard is that? Can you make it? Let's see, it's almost 12. I know you're wondering, right? Because I've noticed. It's almost 12. All right, so let's do it this way. Can you make it till 1 o'clock? Now, I'm not saying I'm preaching till 1 o'clock. Are you gonna be okay? Do you think? I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna make it to my car. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna go someplace and get lunch or go someplace and get coffee. I think I'll be okay. 1 o'clock. Okay, just get to 1 o'clock. Can you do that? Can you do that for me? Just 1 o'clock today. Don't let anybody have any problems till 1 o'clock. Can you handle that? And not worry about it. Can you sit here now and not worry about it? And just say, it's not gonna, I can't possibly live till 1 o'clock. There's no way. I might starve. I might not have enough to wear, Jesus is just, live this hour. Just live this hour. I'm trying to save myself a lot of counseling in my office, okay? I'm trying to help y'all, okay? So please pay attention to me here, okay? Just live right now. And then finally this, let me get done, because you are worried about when I'm going to get done. Set your priorities, Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All what things, Jesus? Everything. Everything in the world? No, everything you need. Everything you need will be added to you. Okay? A bird doesn't need a T-bone steak. A bird needs a worm. I'm gonna take care of you like I take care of the bird. I'll give you what you need. Now, luckily, you're not on a worm diet, so you're not gonna get worms. But I'll take care of what you need. If, ready? Big if. If you make me your priority. If you seek my kingdom, I'm gonna take care of yours. If you put me in your life as you elevate me and you place me where I rightfully belong. See, God doesn't want to be the second in command of your army. He doesn't want to be a junior partner in your business. That's not what he's after. He is going to take it over. I love the story coming up this week. Elon Musk, richest guy in the world probably, just bought Twitter and realized in a week, I can't run Twitter. I don't know how to do it. So he has now demoted himself, brought in some smarter people, hired back some people he fired last week, and brought them in. And he's now setting a second in command of Twitter, and he doesn't know what's going on, but he's a lot happier right now than he was a week ago. You would be too. Stop trying to drive your car when you don't know where you're going. God said, let me have the wheel. Let me be the priority. You sit back, enjoy the ride. I'll feed you, clothe you, take care of things, meet your needs. But you have to take care of my priorities. You have to work on my priority. You have to be on my payroll. You're going to be on my agenda. You're going to do what I tell you to do. All right, we okay? So here's all I'm asking. Four things. I gave you four things. Choose your master, fix your focus, live today, choose your priority. Which one of those four you need to work on? Just pick one. Just pick one. Work it till 1 o'clock, okay? Just pick one. See how it goes. See if things improve some in your life. You know, a few years ago, I learned a really important lesson. Hear me. I'm worried. I'm not immune to worrying. Believe me. A few years ago, I decided to do something. I did a role play of a homeless person, and I did it here at the church. Now, the story I want to tell you, none of the people that I'm telling you about in the story are here anymore. They all left. They all left the church. These are brand new people. I'm talking to new people. But I decided to test something. I thought, okay, let's see what our folks would do with this. So I'm a method actor, so I went around. I'm upside down in garbage cans. I'm pulling stuff out of garbage cans. I look awful. I'm made up, look terrible. And I had a cardboard sign around my neck that said, we'll work for food. And so I gathered all this stuff up, and then I sat down outside of the church before a service started in front of the church sign. And I'm sitting there watching people come in, and I never before knew what it felt like to just have people look right through you or not look at you at all. It's very, you know what, after that? I don't drive past people on the side of the road, even if I don't have any money to give them, I look at them, I smile. Because I know how it feels to not be looked at and not be smiled at. The people came in, nobody stopped, nobody. Not one of those people that have all left the church, not one of them stopped to say, hey, you obviously have an issue, and what's going on? What can we do for you? Until this lady comes along and messes up my evening, pulls up in front of me in a big Cadillac, pops a trunk, and shows me a trunk full of groceries. She walks over to me. She said, I saw you here. I went home. I went to our food pantry. I brought these groceries for you. Guess what? She was Catholic. She didn't go to church here. She didn't, but here she said, and so I had to tell, I said, listen, I'm sorry. I said, I'm really not homeless, and I'm doing it. And she thankfully had a good sense of humor. But anyway, you know what I learned from that? I learned, even if I'm homeless, God's going to take care of me. Even if I don't have anything and I'm sitting on the side of the road, the Bible says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And you know what? That's a promise that works for you. Well, you may be stressed over a lot of stuff right now, worried about stuff. Let me tell you one thing and I'll close. I know I said I'd close a little while ago, but I mean it this time. I'm closing. If you want to overcome anxiety, here's where it has to start. It starts with gratitude. Gratitude stands on the oxygen hose of anxiety. You want to starve anxiety of oxygen. Just be grateful. I don't know what I'm going to do about this, but Lord, I am so thankful for you giving me this. I don't know how I'm going to pay that, but Lord, I'm just thankful we have the opportunity. You know, I'm telling you, there's something that you can be thankful for. And if you will learn to bring gratitude into your prayers, into your thoughts, oxygen goes away for the anxiety. It dies. It goes out the side door. You want to keep it alive? Don't be thankful. And it'll thrive in that environment. You want to cut off its oxygen? Say, Lord, thank you. You're faithful. It's tough right now. Things are hard. I know not exactly how I thought it would be, but you are great. You are graceful and faithful to me. And I'm so thankful for that. Let me pray. Let me be done. Lord, I am grateful for these folks. I'm grateful for this church. Thankful that I can stand before a body of people and say I love them and genuinely mean that, and I do. And I know, Father, I'm just desperately know that some are really struggling with this issue today. So I pray that you will help us as we think through a strategy. How do we go about getting this out of our lives? What is the easiest, best way to do that, the quickest way we can do that? Help us to have wisdom. Speak to our own particular situation, wherever that may be, and help us to see your hand working, guiding us, empowering us. Thank you for loving us. I pray you'll bless as we move into this moment together. And if there are those today, Father, in this room who do not know the joy that we sang a moment ago of it being well with their soul, maybe they've never met the one who died on the cross, bearing all of their sins, all of their sins, so that we bear them no more. May we make our commitment now to you, to serve you, to honor you. And we pray for your grace to do that in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, folks. You come as God leads you, please.